But anyhow, tonight we get to share the thoughts with a gentleman that is very much devoted to working for God. He has really worked for God all his life, but it's just kind of a little different way he's stepping up now. And I'm so thankful for him. And this man has helped so many people. He teaches Navy men out there, teaches courses to them, and has for years. He also spent 3 years over there in the Green Zone. And since I love him more than his wife does, I was really worried about him. She pretends to love him. He pretends to love her too, but I know the truth. It's him and I. And someday I believe he's going to be a minister in our church. And that's our Craig.
Thank you. Thank you. You know, really, before I say anything, what I mean more than anything is really to give glory and honor to God and all the angels. It is just amazing. It's just amazing what an incredible life that we all have, that I have had. You know, I just feel so blessed, so fortunate. And actually, I am absolutely no different than anybody else in this room. Now, I'm going to share with you a lot of my background, share with you stories about spiritualism, spiritualist experiences, because that's what being a spiritualist is. It's about the experience of interacting with the spiritual world. That's really what it is. It's not a religion. It's about an interaction. It's about an experience. And that can be the most fun and joyous thing you've ever had in your life. The surprise and the discovery of it all has just amazed me for a long, long, long time. Not only in this church, but long prior to that, when I really didn't know that spiritualism existed. It was still acting with my life, and I could see it historically acting throughout the church, because I was involved in another church, the Eastern Orthodox Christian. But I would read these amazing stories about these guys who really, they were spiritualists. They might be a monk in the desert, but boy, they were doing and experiencing the most incredible things in the earliest days, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years ago. In some cases, not that long ago. I mean, relatively recent. And I often wondered about that. And I would say, you know, why is that? Why were they experiencing that 600 years ago or 1,200 years ago or 1,800 years ago? And we didn't seem to be experiencing it around us. Now, I came to figure out later on, it was because I wasn't seeing it. It's not that it wasn't happening. It was happening all the time, even in my life. You know, there was an incident I had one time where I was in Canada, and it was a summer, a really hot, hot summer evening. And I was in this truck, and I was traveling down the road. I was going to a store to go get some beer. That was my life. And it was really hot. And this truck had, you know, your typical truck air conditioning, one window down at 80 miles an hour, and you were okay, you know. And it was on a two-lane road, and there was a lot of traffic, and there was lumber trucks coming the opposite direction. And as I'm, and nothing was, you know, it was just an evening, a nice evening. And I came to this bridge. And the bridge was a steel girder bridge that was quite a bit narrower than the road was. Traffic was still zooming by on either side of this line. And I was going one way. just prior to getting to that bridge, all of a sudden I got really, really, really cold. It got physically cold inside this cab. I mean, chilly, like ice cold chilly. And I rolled that window up. And I got on that bridge, and this lumber truck was coming the opposite direction, and our two mirrors hit, and it shattered my driver's mirror. It shattered all the glass and metal up on the glass, and it ricocheted off. Even I recognized at that moment, at that time, that if I hadn't rolled that window up, if it had not have gotten cold, in that moment, on a very hot summer evening, there would have been a massive accident on that bridge. And it wouldn't have been just me and the truck. There was a lot of traffic both ways. Now, what really was that? At the time, you know, I go, well, that was interesting. I need to go finish getting the beer. But I didn't stop wondering about it. You know, what really happened there? And then at some point I said, you know, I think that's intuition, whatever intuition is. But what is intuition? It's the sudden apprehension of cognition or apprehension of some information you don't have access to. That's in theory what it is. But that's not really a very good definition. Because what generates that information? Where does that information come from? You know? And it wasn't till many, many, many years later and many, many incidents in my life of just barely getting by disaster that it started to dawn on me, wait, there's something else going on here. You know, it's not just some mechanical process. It's not something that only I am generating. It's something that maybe somebody else might be involved in. And that really started when I got here at this church. Because of my interest in intuition, I'd been sharing it with my daughter. My daughter said, you know, Dad, and I'm in Iraq at the time, said, you know, Dad, there's this little church in San Diego I think you'd be interested in knowing about. She didn't really know the name, but she knew it was, she knew a little bit about it. But I was in intelligence, and I thought, I'll find this place. So I got on the internet, and I just started searching. Next thing I know, I found this place. I think I sent an email to Millie, you know, from Baghdad. And she said, well, we have these, responded, well, we have these Millie's forums on Wednesday evening at the Swedenborg Church on Campus Drive. Okay, I'm going to go there. Thank you for responding, da-da-da-da. We're going to go. So I came back on R&R. I grabbed my wife and I said, sweetheart, we're going to go to this church. Jennifer recommended. And so we walk into this beautiful little church, Swedenborg Church down there. But what was particularly special about this church, it was how, it's like this one here right now, it's how sweet everybody was. Just sweet, loving people. That's all they were. There was nothing else. This was not, and I came from a heavily liturgical kind of church. So, you know, I'm already forewarned. You know, I'm going, oh, this could be anything. You never know what it could be like. And it could be a very long and painful process, you know, which is what being Orthodox is about. Pain, isn't it? And so they sang some little hymns, and which I thought were endearing, you know, because they were these old gospel hymns. And we set up in, on the left-hand side, close to the front, but not too close to the front. And then at some point, Millie gave a talk, wonderful little talk, and I yawned, and I caught heck for it, too, for yawning while Millie was talking. And I was a new guy. And then after the talk, then a number of people walked to the front, and then they started giving messages. Giving messages from angels. Well, I'm open-minded if I'm nothing else. You know, I don't close my mind to anything. And this might get me closer to understanding what intuition was. So, okay. And then a woman by the name of Yolanda, you know Yolanda, jumps up and she's giving me a message because they give all the first-timers a message. They guarantee that First Lamb is going to do it, which I think is very generous. I've visited other spiritualist churches since then. They're not so generous with first timers, by the way. They're not. And she proceeded to give me a message that I thought, well, that's interesting. Okay. And I'm a research analyst. I need objective information. You need to really give me something that I could validate as you couldn't possibly know. Or I'm not just going, I might be polite, but I'll go, okay, that's sweet. That's nice. And then she proceeds at the very end of it, and she says, and you know, she goes, I know this may be hard to believe, but someday you're going to be standing up here giving messages also.
Wow.
I thought, how interesting is that? I thought, okay. And then the service was over, a little bit after that, and as we're walking out, this is a typical little Protestant church, and I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean, it's just an old Bible-centered church you'd see anywhere, you know, in any rural town. Millie's at the back door. She's shaking hands and talking to everybody as you go out the door. Well, you know, if she gets your hand and you're new, you're getting messages. You're going to hear all about your life. And she started telling me and my sweetheart, Kim, a whole bunch of interesting things that I know she couldn't possibly know. And a few things that we can't place at all, absolutely not all, at all, that did not occur to us until we were a couple blocks away, you know, which just really blew us away and sort of shocked us. But the thing that really amazed me the most was she said, you know, you need to get a letter from Annie Baker. I said, okay. Here, and she pulls out this envelope from her purse. Do you carry envelopes in your purse all the time? And she said, put your address down here. Okay. And so 2 days later, I get this letter from Annie Baker, who receives messages from angels, and I'm open-minded enough to accept it. Okay. And I get this letter in the mail, and it's a typewriter has typed it, not a word processor. Typewriter, you know, you could see, you know, the different indentations and everything. I thought, oh, this is old time stuff. And it started with, you know, she knew my name, obviously. And she said, you know, Craig, we are so glad you are home. None of these people really knew, I think, that I was had been in Iraq. And didn't know that I'd just come from the war zone. Annie Baker, I didn't feel, could have possibly known it. But then the letter continued, said, we are so glad you're home. It has been very difficult taking care of you while you've been gone. We would appreciate it if you don't go back. I said, what? What? And then I continued on the letter. And then there were other things that were so objectively positive that she could not have possibly known. And I was going, oh my gosh, there is something incredible going on here. And so I had to go back to this church. And I think during the R&R we went back several more times, and then we left, we came back. And then I had to go back to Iraq, and I came back okay. And I think it was the last time I went back to Iraq. And then Millie, we went into one of the Wednesday night services, the Wednesday forum. She said, you know, Craig, we need to, I have these Tuesdays and Thursday night classes. We need to be able to experiment on people. We need a test subject. You know, somebody nobody knows. Would you please show up? Okay. Well, this ought to be interesting. And she felt that I wouldn't be put off by it, and it is a little bit different, you know, because it gets darkened. But it's not that dark. You know, you can still see people. And this circle begins, and it begins in this, again, this wonderful, sweet way that a spiritualist church always begins in. You start with a prayer, and then you sing a song, and then you welcome in angels, you know? How endearing is that? It's really amazing. And then people started receiving messages or getting little tidbits of messages, and Millie's piecing it all together and sort of pulling people into the center and around. And while this is going on, I'm watching it all, just taking it in, just in an open-minded way. And all of a sudden, my body gets wrapped in what I could feel to be bubble wrap. It was like I was Bubble Boy. It was. I was standing there, and my arms went up like this. And I'm going, I'm not doing this. I said, Millie, I'm not doing this. And she said, and everybody said, look at him. And apparently, her dad came in over me, and they could actually see her dad. And a lot of people could. Now, while I couldn't necessarily see it, the experience of being used like that, and to where I had the physical sensation of being used, was just incredible to me. Could I have had more objective information? No, I could not have had more objective information. It couldn't have been more positive. And that, it transcended everything I had ever learned about religions. And when I was in college, I could have had a second major in religions because I love to study religions, you know. And one of the sweetest things about spiritualism is that it's not a religion. And every religion is okay. It's okay for whoever you are. If that fills your need at that point in time, that is good for you. Whether it's a Hindu or a Muslim or a Christian or Russian Orthodox like I was, that was perfect and that was wonderful. That is a path. They're all individually wonderful paths to God that a person can choose to take. But a spiritualist path is a little bit different. It's defined that you're automatically on a path to God. But you get to have an awful lot of fun along the way, interacting with people you don't necessarily see every day or you don't know exist. And that was most of my life. I didn't know that I believed in heaven, but I really didn't know that anything or anybody existed outside of myself. In a way, that's a very lonely way to be. But I think that's what most people are actually like. Until you get that experience that is so definitively positive that you are not alone, you don't actually know it. And here I was, and talk about an alien in a strange land. Here I'm in a bunch of incredible people who are all receiving messages from spirit in a variety of ways, whether it came through their dreams or whether it came to them through somebody else who was giving them a message or whether it was an idea that popped into their head or whether it was through amazingly physical manifestations that might be emotionally evoking and very meaningful at the time, like a hummingbird just all of a sudden showing up outside your window. And going, that there. I know what that is. Is that their intuition? Well, no, it really wasn't. It was them responding to a hello. It was them responding to a I love you. Which was something that was really alien to me, to be honest with you. Responding to an I love you. That's what spiritualists are. They're people who are responding to the universe saying, I love you. You know, one time, and this is really before I became a spiritualist, but I see that I was probably always on this path. I had this this. And this dream that really was a vision where I met one of my guides, who was Moses the Black. He's an Orthodox monk from the 6th century. And he gave me a message, and he appeared to me, and he gave me a message, and it was very, very direct. It was very powerful, and it was very meaningful, and it was very visceral. It was not just your normal dream. It was all five of my senses were just going on this experience. And then, and that was a Saturday evening, and the next day I went to talk to my priest, who was a great priest, and he was a good man. And he was a very spiritual man, you know, as I would think it. And I described this vision, which was spectacular. And I'm sure you've all had dreams like that, that are just so vivid that you know it's real. It's not just a fantasy. It's not foggy. It's precise and it's pristine. And something real is going on there that is above and beyond what normally happens. And Father Paul looked at me after I described it, and he said, "You know, Craig, I think you had bad meatloaf last night."
Oh, my gosh.
Now, that wasn't, and you know, that unfortunately is much of our society. So, and it was, wasn't until a little bit later that I sort of stumbled into this spiritualist church where instead of people saying, "Craig, that's bad meatloaf," they were going, "Craig, that. Now, that's interesting. You need to pay attention to that." And all those symbols mean something to you. And you can figure it out because your angels will tell you what that meant. You know? I had another dream. That was also a very powerful vision. That was before this journey in spiritualism began. But pointed to it, where I it was like I woke up, and there was this incredible, and I smelled roses, beautiful, beautiful roses, and there was this amazing tree next to me, and I walked up to this tree, and I knew this tree was conscious, was aware, perfectly aware, was interactive, and it's, and it knew me, and I knew it. I don't know why or how, but here was this me standing there with the tree. And it had these amazing gold flowers. And the tree said to me, "You need to shake me." Okay. That seemed reasonable. It's a dream, you know. So I get up there, and I shake that tree. I shake the heck out of it. At which point, all of the nectar in all of these little wonderful golden flowers poured down on me like rain. And I mean, just soaked me. And it was a sudden splash like that. And it dawned on me the tree played a joke on me. And it was laughing at me. And I was laughing. I had never felt so good in my life. It was a tree joke. Now, but later on, as I thought about it, and I never forgot these, and it wasn't until much, much later, when I was sort of learning about spiritualists and that there's meaning in everything that's going on around us, that I figured out that that tree was really my own consciousness talking to me. Shake and work your consciousness, your conscious mind. Shake it. And you will be blessed, you know, and it'll pour down like mercy falls from heaven like rain. And that's really what that was about. It was really quite beautiful in a hilarious way. And that gets to this whole issue of how personal is this spiritualist experience. It's very personal. I didn't have a relationship with my dad. Or it was a rough one. But because I got to learn that he was still alive and well, that we were still interacting, we developed a relationship that we never had in our entire lives. And it got to be a beautiful relationship that's really quite humorous in a lot of ways. We had and this is physical mediumship, by the way. This is how physical mediumship happens. The dining room light would flicker on and off for no reason. Switch was off. And it would turn on. And we'd try to figure out if there was a time or because I'm very logical. And I know what electronic components are. It was off and on and on and off. And it was no rhyme or reason until it seemed like there were moments when it would be some possibility of emotionally evoking sensation could take place because this light would flicker on and off. Kim said, you know, that's your dad. Because my dad was an electronics technician. If anybody could switch on and off lights, he could do it. I said, and then so we joked around about it a little bit. Well, that just encouraged him. He did it all the more. And one time we had a nephew come over who was his grandson. And I said, now, Kyle, do your homework. I said, if the lights go on while you're doing your homework, don't worry about it. It's just Grandpa. It's just Grandpa. Well, poor Kyle. You know, his family. God bless him. And the rest of my family. They got raised in a real fundamentalist kind of household. So this stuff is real freaky to them. So sure as shooting that light goes on. And he turns around. He goes, who turned that light on? It was Grandpa. Oh! And he studied that much harder because he wanted to get out of there. So, I guess, in summarization, really, being a spiritualist is a wonderful path of discovery. It is a path of joy. It is a path of happiness. And that is all it should be. It shouldn't be anything else. You know? And I know from everybody was nodding. I know many of you, I shared with you these few stories I've had, but many of you have had very, very similar stories. Maybe not identical, but darn close. So you know exactly what I'm talking about. And it's very special. And I thank you very much for this evening.